If you have your Bibles tonight, please turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians tonight, chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. I'm going to let you rest tonight, but I want to start reading in verse number 1 and read down through verse number 7 tonight. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." I believe that's good advice for these days, don't you? He said, "I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." My text tonight is these next two words: "with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Pray with me a moment. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to be back at the house of God. I pray tonight, our Father, that you'd give us clarity of thought and mind, that we might deliver, our Lord, that you put in our hearts tonight. I pray that it'll be a blessing, God, to our dear people. And I pray tonight, our Lord, as we head into this season, Lord, that we would just remember really who this season is all about. Lord, we give you thanks tonight, because, Lord, you're worthy of those thanks tonight. We ask you, Father, to clothe us in our calling and help us now for a little while. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible tells us here to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, to let our requests be made known unto God. But God puts a little phrase right in the middle of the verse. It says, "with thanksgiving." I'll tell you something that'll change your prayer life. It's thanksgiving. Don't just run into God's presence, amen, telling him what you need, but just get in his presence and begin to thank him for what he's already done. Begin to thank him. I love to thank the Lord, Brother Chris, for this. "Lord, you know what I need. Even before I ask. But God, you said to ask." I thank the Lord that we serve a God that knows what we need. He knows when we need it. Amen. We need to thank the Lord when we come to him in prayer. Just go ahead and thank him that we have access to the Holy of Holies. Amen. We don't have to, listen, I'm not trying to be mean, but we don't have to have a pastor. We don't have to have a priest. Amen. We don't have to have a prophet. God said, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." You're his child, and you're encouraged and welcome to come in his presence with thanksgiving. I think that would change our prayer life. Amen. The Lord seems to camp out with people that are thankful people. And that's what Paul is saying here. There's several things I want to give you tonight, just three. I won't be long. Well, I'll give you three, and I'll be here till God gets done. Amen. Anyway, when I look down at my notes tonight, the first thing we're going to look at is the reason. The reason that we ought to pray with thanksgiving. The Bible said here, "but in everything," that's what the Word of God, "careful for nothing, but in everything we're supposed to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And so God, James tells us that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. So everything that we have that's good came from the hand of God. Amen. And he deserves to be honored and praised and thanked for that. There's just several things here in the text that I want to look at, the reason that we ought to pray with thanksgiving. Number one is God's people. Brother Chris, you mentioned it. God took us out of the world and put us in a family. As far as I'm concerned, the greatest family that's ever been on the face of the earth. A lot of people don't understand this. But beloved, listen, many of us in this room are closer to God's people than we are to our own families. Amen. Especially family that don't know Jesus. They don't understand us. Amen. They don't get us. They don't know why you would want to go to church three times a week, and then when a revival meeting comes, go. They don't understand those things. But listen tonight, God's people. In verse number one, he said, "My brethren, listen, dearly beloved and longed for." Listen, I want to ask you a question tonight. I want you to answer this in your heart honestly. Do you long to meet with God's people? Did you know the day may come, beloved, when we're like Sister Thelma over there, or Sister Shelby over there, or many others these years, amen, would give anything to be able to get to the house of God? I'm telling you, right now, while we're able, when there ought to be a longing in our heart. It shouldn't be something that we dread. It ought to be something we look forward to and we long for. Paul, when he was on these missionary journeys and locked up in prison many times, he couldn't wait to get back to the people of God. It was one thing to write to them, but it was another thing to stand with them, amen, and share the Word of God with them. And he said here, evidently there was a little problem here with unity. In verse number 2, he said, "I beseech Eutychus and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind." That word beseech, beloved, is kin to the word beg. Paul is begging them, amen, to be of the same mind. The Bible said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And so God is talking about that here among his people. And then in verse number 4, he talks about the true yoke fellows and those women which labored with me in the gospel. And he said here, the fellow laborers, my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So we ought to pray with thanksgiving. The reason, and number one, is God's people. And we ought to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then secondly, we ought to pray with thanksgiving. Not only do we see the reason being God's people, but the reason is God's promise. Look what the Bible said here. "Let your moderation be known." Another word for moderation, I'm not changing the Bible, but we'd be gentleness. Amen. That's one of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. I try not to say fruits because it's fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is. You don't pick them out and pick which ones you want. If you got the Holy Ghost at work in your heart, all of those things, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, kind, all of those things are at work in a person's life that the Holy Spirit has a hold of. Amen. And beloved, the Bible's telling us here there's a promise. What's that promise? The Lord is at hand. Oh, you say, "Pastor, that was written over 2,000 years ago. You mean a couple days?" The Bible said, one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Are you listening to me? He's just been gone a couple of days. He's coming back. And the promise of Jesus is coming, amen, is a reason to get on our face before God and pray with thanksgiving. Amen. We're getting ready to celebrate, hallelujah, when he came into the world. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There ought to be thanksgiving that he's coming back to the world. Amen. "Yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." The reason that we ought to pray with thanksgiving, God's people, God's promise. And then what's God's provision? Look in verse number 19. He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." When I think about things like this, I may be silly. And if you've had to do this, this is not a slam on you. But I tell you something right now, we've been in some pretty low places as far as the supply goes. But I've never been down to the pawn shop to pawn my wedding ring. Are you listening to me? Amen. I'm telling you, God has provided all along the way. Amen. I've never had to take Miss Eve's jewelry down there and pawn it. Amen. So we could get something to eat or so we could put gas in the tank. God's been good to us. And the reason we ought to pray with thanksgiving, not only is because of His goodness now, but His goodness in the past. And honey, listen, I'm one of them that believes David. He said, listen, I once was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed a begging bread. Amen. God's going to take care of His people. That's a reason to pray with thanksgiving. And then I want you to look at the request. There's a couple of things here. The Bible said in verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request, plural, be known unto God. Let your request be, prayer is asking. Amen. You know, I think sometimes we pray like my children used to ask me for something. I told you, I think maybe Brother John was talking about it in Sunday school a couple Sundays ago, talking about being poor when you came up. Amen. Well, we were a little bit poor. Say amen. And my children, this is what they would do. They would hold up something and they'd say, now we didn't have children that laid on their back and kicked and screamed or kicked their mama in the shins. Amen. All my children are still alive. Amen. We didn't have them kind of youngins. Amen. But my youngins would hold this up and say, Daddy, we can't have this, can we? Yeah. you see that psychological warfare going on, don't you, Brother Chris? Amen. I tell you what, if at all possible, amen, what are you going to do? I'm going to ask you something tonight. How many times have you been to God not believing? You know what you're doing? You're saying, God, we can't have this, can we? Say amen. I'm going to tell you something. Daddy might not be able to afford it, but our God can afford whatever we need. Amen. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills, the taters in the hill. He owns it all. Amen. And listen, He's not slack concerning His promise. Ask, the Bible said. Seek, the Bible said. And knock. Keep on asking. Amen. The request. But not only is it our request that's at work here, but look at His request. The Bible said, in everything, give thanks. That's a request from God. Actually, it's a command from God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't know about you, but one of the prettiest songs I've ever heard in my life. I don't know if you've ever heard it, Brother Caleb. I keep putting things on you. But thank you for the valley that I walked through today. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. It takes some faith, amen, to thank God for the valley and know that God's working in the valley and that we're growing in the valley and that He's the lily of the valley. Amen. And the soil is more fertile in the valley than anywhere else. Amen. Thank God for that rich, rich soil. Look at Psalm 100 for just a minute. I just want to read it tonight. Psalm 100, I'm looking at God's request here. I believe it's important, amen, that we see what He requests of His people. We request of Him, but He requests of us as well. In Psalm 100, I think it's a wonderful and a beautiful psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Let me ask you a question. Is there any parentheses that says if you feel like it? Is there any parentheses that says if you've got everything you need or if you're in good health? No, make a joyful noise. The Bible said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. That's what happened in Romans this morning. Amen. They knew Him and then they turned their back on Him. Amen. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And be thankful unto Him. I love this. And bless His name. I tell you what, I every time I read that, I think about them old timers, amen, and them old revival meetings where somebody would get happy and just start going around the church hollering, bless His name. Bless His name. That's all they could say. Bless His name. Bless His name. I tell you what, it's good, amen, just to bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. So we ought to pray with thanksgiving. We see the reason. We see the request. Here's the favorite part of the whole message tonight. I'll just see the result of praying with thanksgiving. Look at it with me here in the Word of God. The Bible said in verse number 7, and the peace of God. Let me tell you something right now. There's no substitute in this world for the peace of God. Amen. Listen, if you're saved tonight, you made peace with God through the blood of His cross. But I'm going to tell you, the peace of God is dependent upon obedience. Amen. God said, pray and always. God said, rejoice in the Lord. The Bible said, pray with thanksgiving. Amen. And so when we do that, then we get to enjoy the peace of God. The Word of God said that passeth all understanding. Watch this. And He shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me give you several things right here tonight and I'm done. We're going to get out of here early tonight. Amen. Watch this now. The result. The peace of God. That's the result. You say, Pastor, what's the God of peace doing? Number one, He's protecting us. Did you know tonight, listen, you might think I'm crazy tonight, but if you're in your right mind, it ain't because you did something. It's because there's a God, amen, the God of peace. The Bible said right here, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, listen, a lot of people think when you get saved and you surrender to the Lord, I'm sure there's people that thought when old Brother Coulter gave up a good job and good insurance and good pay, hey, he's lost his mind. No, he didn't lose his mind. He found the mind of Christ. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, God's going to protect his heart and protect his mind because of obedience to God. Amen. So He's protecting us. And He's not only protecting us. Watch this. The result of praying with thanksgiving. He's purifying us. He said in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let me ask you a question, personal question. How many's ever had your mind go somewhere where it didn't need to be going? Somebody help me tonight. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you'll examine that period in your life, there'll be something missing. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It'll be missing. Amen. That's when them old birds begin to fly over, amen, begin to drop those seeds in your heart and in your mind, amen. And God's here to protect us, but God's wanting to purify us, amen. And I believe one of the ways that He uses is when we're praying with thanksgiving unto the Lord, the God of heaven. We see the result, the peace of God. He's protecting us. He's purifying us. But watch this now in verse number 9. His presence is with us. Yeah, let me ask you something. How many's ever prayed and you didn't sense the presence of God? Would you be honest with me? Amen. You prayed because it was the right thing to do. You knew you were supposed to pray, but you didn't sense the presence. Every preacher's preached, hey, said Brother Connor, and didn't sense the presence of God. At somewhere along the way, you preached and just felt like there was a wall right there. You just wasn't getting nowhere. Amen. Sometimes we prayed and we felt like a ceiling was real low right over our head and it wasn't even getting out of the room. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. God has promised His presence. When you pray with thanksgiving, you want God to show up in your prayer life. You just start thanking Him. Amen. It won't be long if you're emotional like some of us are. There'll be tears running off your chin. You'll be saying things like this. God, I'm sorry I ever doubted you. God, I'm sorry for them thoughts that went through my heart and my mind. Amen. And we're approaching God and His presence shows up. I'll say this tonight. There's nothing like His presence. And nothing else will ever do. I'm going to tell you something right now. We're living in a generation, listen to me, that's learned to have church without Him. They've learned to have church without His presence. I'm going to tell you something right now. You listen to me and you hear me well. You might as well get rid of these pews and turn this thing into a dance hall. If God don't come and meet with His people, He said, where two or three are gathered together, This is a Sunday night crowd that a pastor's thankful for, and there's more than two or three. But two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them. I'll tell you something, if every one of us shows up, and he don't show up, we ain't got nothing. Amen. But if he's in the midst, he's a-working in our hearts, working in our lives. The result is the peace of God. The God of peace is protecting us. He's purifying us. His presence is with us. But I want you to see this in verse number 10 and verse number 11. This is a work that God is doing in our hearts and in our lives. How many's ever been on Facebook Marketplace? Raise them up there high, you bunch. Amen. Amen. Some of you, how many's ever been on the Kingsport Times Classified? That's been a while. Say amen. Looking for something. Amen. Ain't that right? You say, Pastor, what else is God doing as a result of praying with thanksgiving? He's perfecting us. He's perfecting us. You say, Pastor, where'd you get that? Look at verse number 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last care of me hath flourished again. At the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Watch this now. Look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Years ago when I went with the Rock of Ages, I kind of used that like that, because one week I'd be in Missouri, next week I'd be in Florida, then I'd be in Alabama. Amen. You understand where I'm coming from? Then I'd be in West Tennessee. Then I'd be in Pennsylvania. I'd be in Delaware, somewhere like that. And I said, I've learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be. That's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul's talking about, listen, there's good times and there's bad times. There's times when you're standing up preaching the presence of God so real and the power of God so real and people are getting saved. There's other times when they beat you to death, left you laying outside the city for dead. Other times when they're lying on you, perils among false prophets, false brethren, amen. Perils among countrymen, perils in the sea, beaten of the Jews, amen. Listen, I'm just telling you, beloved, Paul said, I've learned. If it's me and Silas down there in the jailhouse, I'm content. Amen. Why? Because he's with me. And one of the blessings, beloved, of praying with thanksgiving is understanding the peace of God that comes with it. You can't buy the peace of God. Amen. You can't buy that work, that perfecting in us. I close with this statement. I heard it years ago. I hope it makes sense to you tonight. This is what a man said, and I never have forgotten it. He said, a man is not rich in respect to what he has. You and I, beloved, my wife and I, going out Carter's Valley towards the house, there's some real nice homes, and I'm telling you, it's one of those deals where every Christmas light is perfect. Everything's spaced perfect. I mean, it goes around the roof. Everything is lined up perfect. Amen. Listen, I don't know if that man's rich or not. I believe he'd have to be pretty rich just to pay the power bill. Amen. But anyway, here's what I'm saying. This man said, a man's not rich in respect to what he has. He's rich in respect to what he wants. Did y'all hear that? If you don't want nothing, in other words, if you're satisfied, if you're content, amen, with what God's given you, amen. I figured this out a long time ago. If y'all ever figured this out, God knows what we can handle and what we can't. Did y'all ever figure that out? Amen. You know, some people handle money, and some people money handles them. Some people handle possessions. Other people possessions handle them. Amen. And keep them out of church. Keep them away from spiritual things. Amen. They're too busy at the lake, too busy in the woods, too busy with the camper, too busy with the vehicles, too busy with the house, too busy making that first million. I'm working on my second million. Yeah, I give up on the first one a long time ago. Amen. Y'all look at me like that. Amen. You're like that fella in Wise that robbed us. Anybody rob a Baptist preacher ain't got much sense. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. God said, we'll pray with thanksgiving. There's a reason we ought to do that. There's a request involved. But thank God for that beautiful result. He's working on us. He's perfecting us. Amen. Did you ever figure this out? The older you get, the more your desires change. Amen. My dad made a statement, Brother Jack, years ago. He said, son, if I'd known grandchildren this good, I'd have had them first. Amen. Yeah, I don't know what it is. It seems like we're so busy trying to make a living when we have our children. Sometimes we miss the blessing. Say amen. And sometimes, as I was preaching this morning, you look in their eyes and there's a burden instead of a blessing. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God has a way of taking the burdens and making them a blessing. Amen. I ran into a lady at a funeral last week that used to sing a song down at Liberty Baptist where I pastored. And this was the title of the song, God Will Make This Trial a Blessing. And the line after that, and the whole wide world will see. I'm going to tell you, this world is never watching us as close as they are when we're going through a trial in this life. Amen. And God wants us to understand we can come before His presence, make our requests, and pray. But don't forget those two words, with thanksgiving, because it's important. Amen. It'll light up your prayer life. Amen. And it'll help you to sense His presence. I know He's present, Brother Gary. Your favorite verse, He'll never leave me nor forsake me. We know He's present. But I'm going to tell you something. To know He's present and to sense His presence is two different things. Would somebody say amen? It's two different things. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen. How many's glad I didn't preach till 9 o'clock? I know I am. Amen. I appreciate you being here tonight. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer.